This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Jonathan Aul.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
So a Texas TV station did an interview with Ken Starr, the former chancellor of Baylor University. And Jasmine, can you tell us a little bit more about how things unfolded with this interview? And then we're going to talk about what we think about how this turned out.
Right. Well, he was interviewed about an email that he had received from a person who was allegedly raped on Baylor's campus. She had sent an email to Ken Starr along with several other people at the university and didn't receive a reply back, at least she said for about 6 days, and nothing from Ken Starr. He ended up losing his position at the university over the fallout over this email and this rape. So the Texas station that interviewed him, they brought this email up and they asked him, did you see this email? And his first response was, you know, I can't say I didn't. And I don't know. I don't remember. And it seemed fairly honest and not really rehearsed. But the thing was, just a few moments later, he was stopped by a woman that he had brought with him to the interview, who was described as a family friend, which the TV station later learned she was actually a crisis management expert, Mary Spaeth, and worked with him previously on different cases. But she stopped the interview after the news director who was supervising this interview told her that they would not, edit that quote out, what he had said. She'd asked them, I need you to promise me to not use what he just said. And they said, no, we're not going to promise you that. So she put a stop to the interview. Ken Starr and she left the room and then they talked. Later they came back and Mary said that they needed to re-ask him that question so they wouldn't, quote, mis-edit that. And that's where we kind of leave off here. The TV station asks him again, you know, the same question. And he responds not very differently, but differently enough where he doesn't admit to any fault or say that he could have seen it. Because in the first response, he said, I could have seen it. I don't know. Right. Well, the second time he didn't say that. He said, you know, if something like that had been sent to him, he figures he would remember seeing it, which is a different way of saying that. And I think it's significantly different. And he actually seems more rehearsed in the second and third responses he gives to that.
Well, he even turned to the woman and asked, did I respond correctly?
Right. She says, don't look at me. Look at her. Look at the reporter.
Look at the camera.
Yeah. So it was very rehearsed looking. And it really shows you. I'm glad the TV station put it out there for everyone to see what happens when someone comes in and tries to coach someone during an interview.
That's what I really like about what we saw with this video, is that the TV station showed us the entire video, mm-hmm. so we can make up our minds ourselves. And it's interesting to hear the spin doctor trying to tell the TV station, we want to make sure you don't mis-edit this.
Right.
So, okay, we won't do any editing at all. We'll mm-hmm. roll the whole thing and let the audience make up their own minds.
Right. So they document it. They document it, show it to the audience, and they show the whole process from beginning to end.
Yeah, so I really like the way the TV station handled that.
A-plus to the TV station for asking the question and for how they portrayed the situation that they were put in on the answer. F-minus to the crisis management consultant. And I'm not saying that because I think that I'm not taking a position on the job of being a crisis management consultant, but rather that his answer was rather innocuous. Mm-hmm. After the coaching, it really wasn't that different. It was phrasing that completely magnified the issue. Had she just let the original response go, it would have garnered very little attention. Mm-hmm. The re-answer wasn't substantially different. Yes, I suppose you could make a case that the way he answered it in the second way, especially if there were legal ramifications to it, that, you know, it could be viewed in a different light. But this wasn't a legal proceeding. This was an interview. So I think that not only did the crisis management person not help him, she made it dramatically worse by making a scene, by asking them to not use it, by pulling him out of the room, mm-hmm. by giving him something to say that wasn't substantially different, but that just attracted attention to the secrecy and the obfuscation that may be involved in this situation.
Well, and a spin doctor like that, too, would normally talk with her client ahead of time and pose possible questions that the reporter might ask. And here is how you respond to certain types of questions. That way the person being interviewed is more prepared when they go in. And you certainly think this is the type of thing the email would have come up during the course of the interview with the reporter. So you would have thought Ken Starr would have been prepared for that. She either failed to prepare him or she did prepare him, and he didn't do a very good job of studying before he went before the camera.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised by, too, that they, I guess, hadn't come up with a way to respond to some of these things, especially since the victim in question had been interviewed earlier that day on ESPN. So this was out there and was being discussed. So it wasn't like it wasn't going to come up during this interview. I also found it interesting that this crisis management expert actually thought the TV station would acquiesce, that they wouldn't use that first quote, that they could even ask. I mean, maybe they're hoping.
Well, you never know if you don't ask, right?
I guess so, yeah. But I'm glad the news director stood his ground there because – those kinds of things, I think, are maybe rarely shown, but it does happen, and people need to be aware of it.
In my experience, people who travel in those circles where they are incredibly powerful and they are surrounded for most of their lives by people who respect their power and authority become ensconced in this idea that everyone will do that everyone will defer, that everyone will acquiesce because they are who they are, and that's their life experience. Nothing underscores the importance of journalism more than that statement, that people who are used to being around others that constantly say yes, that constantly defer, that say whatever you say goes, that they are held accountable to questions that the people have a right to ask and to get a straight answer on. That's the reason journalism exists and why it's so important. And A plus, again, to the station. This is not a big market. It's Waco, Texas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people like to besmirch small market TV news operations as not quality and not doing a good job. This is exhibit A on not only that it can be done well, but that it is being done well in some places. So I would say that other small markets that wonder what their journalistic responsibility is and what the power of their journalism be, especially some of those in our listening area, might want to take a look at this video and understand just how important what they do is.
You know, we're talking about the spin doctor sitting in on the interview, but quickly, we have about a minute left. What do you think of the news director sitting in on that interview? Because I would guess the news director does not sit in on most interviews that his reporters do. So they must have felt this was a special case, and it's a good thing he was there to answer so that the reporter wasn't on the spot saying, you know, trying to answer this question. The news director, the authority figure, was there.
Well, such a high-profile interview, I think, maybe warrants the news director sitting in. Also, maybe there are questions of legality and about questions they could ask, and the news director would be the go-to person for that. So it doesn't surprise me that he was there for this particular interview. But typically, no, they're not at just any day interview.
Or maybe it's important to note that the reporter probably didn't introduce the news director as a family friend,
right,
and said, this is my news director. But Ken Starr introduced his crisis management consultant as a family friend.
Good point. Hey, with that, we are out of time for today. If you're interested in seeing this video, we have a link to it on our website at tspr.org. So go there and check out the video and see it for yourself. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.